Call Cooley on 850-6597.
On Dublin's Q102.
And as always, on Monday, all things consumer related with the CEO of the CAI, Dermot Jewell, is with us once again. Evening, sir, how are you?
I'm good, Aidan. Yourself?
You're all right, all raring to go to get into people's problems and see if we can resolve a few issues, which would be nice. Just before we get into that, over 1,000 jobs at Extra Vision now. Are they in jeopardy at this stage with a receiver appointed to the company today? There must be a lot of doubts for people working there.
I say there are doubts. The goal is that they sell it as a going concern, or they get somebody in to try to run it as a going concern.
Yeah.
I think what's impressive as well is it's lovely to hear it in total contrast to so many of the other receiverships, that they are going to honour gift cards, tokens, and any credit balances that are there. So it's
all right. Some of the shops are still profitable, so there is a lot of hope.
Apparently so. So that's good. And in fairness, that cannot be easy when you're looking at the amount of streaming, and if you look at Netflix and the others that are there, hard to work. Yeah.
And of course, I think in fairness to Extra Vision, they try to adapt, and they offered bundles and packages. You get a popcorn and sweets.
Yeah.
And
phones and everything. Yeah. They're doing mobiles, all sorts
and
of
televisions. Yeah. I think. Yeah, they diversified completely, didn't they? Any note of interest there for consumers now? How do you deal? You know, you're a regular Extra Vision customer. How do you approach them now? You just go in and buy things, but don't pre-book anything or don't deposit anything. Is that?
I mean, in fairness, and I suppose unfortunately for Extra Vision, there's no question. Two things are going to happen. I think most people who have got credit notes or cards and balances will be in to use them, and that's good, I suppose, for business if nothing else. But I cannot help but imagine that there will be few credit balances maintained,
right,
and there'll certainly be very little of the cards or the credits sold from now on. But
Well, I suppose the positive side of that is, if I had put a deposit on a television, I'd go down there and buy get the telly.
Well, it might happen,
so it might increase turnover
for
them.
That's something to think about.
Which is good. All right, so that's the sad story there. Mm. Hopefully, they'll be able to turn things around, whoever comes in, and obviously keep people working.
So many jobs.
Okay. Now, what about this? The new pilot project to see an Irish town experimenting with scrapping the 1 cent and 2 cent coins. The National Payments Plan, which is published by the Central Bank, recommends that a town should be chosen to run a pilot scheme. Cash prices would be rounded to the nearest 5 cent, presumably up and down. Though usually we find up. I know, yeah, I can see your face when I said presumably up and down.
Hello. No, I suppose that the whole point of all of this, and we discussed this with the Central Bank, is that the idea would be that when a variety of goods are purchased, the total price of them will be rounded up or down. Because, let's be honest about it, and the Central Bank have acknowledged this themselves, if it was to be the case that we were to round up or down every individual product, the amount of inflation overnight would be quite staggering.
Yeah.
Because anything that was 1.98 would become 2 euro. Anything that was 1.99, 2 euro. Again, we couldn't have that. So their goal was, if you buy 12 products and the whole bill comes out at 19.97, then okay, it rounds back or down somewhere in 1995, or if it's 1998, it goes up to the 20. That's the way to do it. Of course, it's not going to be easy if there are individual products being sold, but I would hope that it doesn't work like that, because the effect will be unpleasant.
All right, Stephen Walsh, they scrapped 1 and 2 cent coins in Finland for years, useless coins. Yeah. The only thing is everything will be rounded up, never down, he says. He's on your school.
He's spot on.
5 cent minimum, a new 5 euro note too, to be introduced in a couple of weeks' time. Mm. Scrapping them is a great idea. The coins are nightmares. I just throw them to jar and put them in a poor box in a second hand shop. I'm so embarrassed about the whole idea of these coins. Don't know why that is. Already dreading the arguments with customers in the shop. It's a good idea, but some people just won't accept it.
No, they won't. It's right.
Well, that's fair enough, yeah.
That's it. I want my change kind of scenario, yes.
And at the other end of that, somebody points out, Joe says, make shops accept them. They are legal tender. All shops have to be governed by the same rules, which also means that they should accept the 200 and the 500 euro notes as well. Now, a lot of stores won't accept them. They say for security reasons.
Yeah, they've no way of scanning them, which is a problem for them.
All right.
Which is unusual. I would have thought, I'm showing my naivety here, I would have hoped that scanners would have been able to just identify all watermarks and all notes. Obviously they can't.
I know, I remember being in Spain and seeing them being handed out in a supermarket and thinking, good grief, what's going on here? Somebody's buying a big ticket purchase.
I know,
and you can see the notes. We don't have them at home. Yeah, we don't.
Yeah.
That's obviously.
It's interesting that it's very aligned with the fact that we're now about to have 10 euro notes in machines. I mean, in many other parts of Europe, I mean, the idea of getting a 50 is staggering. They don't know what to do with it. There's not enough cash in the machine in a shop to give you the change, you know.
But aren't the banks absolutely magnificent the way they adapt and look after us? Aren't they brilliant? They're putting 10 euro notes into the cash machines.
Sweethearts.
I mean, like, they're so good. I wonder what Richie gets to see. He no longer has a surname now. It's just Richie of Bank. So I wonder, does he get his notes in 10 euro notes when he's getting 16 grand a week? How many 10 euro notes would that be? Maybe we'll put that in as a quiz question later on.
how high of a wad is that?
That's it, exactly. Or do you bring a wheelbarrow in to stock it up? Well, let's not go there for the moment. Let's instead see if we can help somebody with their problem. Jackie has an issue with a mobile phone setup. What happened, Jackie? You're through to Dermot.
Hi, Aidan. Hi, Dermot.
I'm going, Jackie.
Hey, Graham. No, it's basically to do with my daughter. She's, I recently changed network for, because she got a new phone, and she was going mad at me for, to buy some games and to set up a Google account, which I was very reluctant to do because of her age. So yesterday, I brought her into the local shop, the phone shop, which is a network I have subscribed to for her. And I explained to the guy that she hadn't spent all her previous month's credit or allowance, which was 20 euro. She had 7 euro left in her phone. And she'd like to buy a game. And would he help her buy a game so that she wouldn't have to subscribe to something and that she could access the game? So he explained to us that she didn't have to buy the game. The games were free. And she could play the games for free if she took up a Google account and that I could open up one for her. And, you know, she'd be fine. Well, that was grand. He showed us what to do and we left the shop. Now, when we left the shop, it was 12:25 yesterday and she had 27 euro and 4 cent credit in her phone. We went home, we set up her Google account. She got some games and she played it. And between 6 o'clock last night and 7 o'clock last night, her 27 euro credit vanished off her phone. So I was out with my mother, and when I came back, she was white-faced, trying to tell me, oh, ma'am, please don't get angry with me. This is all after happening. I don't know how it happened. I wasn't on anything. All I was doing was playing the games. So frantically, I got hold of the network provider last night. They explained to me that she'd gone over her data. Now, she had free data, so much per month, because she was getting 20 euro credit on her phone once a month. But she had used it all up, so had she used all the credit. So I wasn't accepting that as an answer, and I wanted an explanation because I had gone into the shop yesterday and he had insisted that it was free and the whole lot. So the guy was able to give me the times from which the credit was taken off the account and that it went basically on internet download and stuff and that. So it was very late last night, so 10 to 12 when I was sorting it out, but today I went into the shop with my daughter. And I called the lads that I spoke with. He was very obnoxious with me in the shop. He said, oh, you know, I mean, how stupid are you to think that it was free? I said, excuse me, I asked you. You told me it was free. I said, and I'm not going away until this is sorted out. In the end, he put me through on by phone to customer services, which apologised and asked me what had happened, and I explained. They agreed, as a gesture of goodwill, to put 10 euro credit onto my daughter's account for her phone. But that was as far as they could go. Now, I am still furious at the fact that, you know, she was supposed to have so much data per month. They couldn't give me a guide on how much data she would have per month, but that when it was gone, and she had no way of knowing if it was gone. But she insisted, when I said, well, all she did was download 3 games, and he said, well, if she'd have downloaded one, it would have been free, but it was to 3. But he never said that in the shop yesterday, which I'm very annoyed at, because she's 10, you know. You know, and she had a month ago, she was only after getting the credit. And the credit was gone.
All right, okay, let's go back a little bit there, Jackie, and let's hear what Dermot has to say now. Are we in trouble here?
Well, the difficulty is, well, it's not a difficulty. You were told that it was free. And therein lies the problem. It's what exactly were you told was free? Was it that all games are free or a game is free? Actually, let's start with that, Jackie. Do you recall the specifics of that conversation?
Yeah, he took out his phone and he showed all the games he had on his phone. He said, look, see, they were all free.
Oh, right.
So when you go home, he said, you can download as many games as you like. They're all free. And that was his exact words to me in the shop. And that's what I understood leaving the shop.
Okay.
So the downloading of them is free, but the playing of them, did that element of it come up? Because I do know there's a lot of problems currently with young people who are so, I suppose the best way I can put it, they're very skilled at moving their way fast through these games. And as a result, they end up, I suppose, escalating through the various levels. And as a result, because they're escalating through the levels, they're starting to really push their data limit. So I'm not falling down on either side. I understand exactly what you believed was happening. But did when he said, look, you can download all these for free, did he go beyond that and say, I mean, apart from that obnoxious statement that he made to you in relation to stupidity, did he mention anything about within the game you should be careful because, and you know, there are
no
costs.
Absolutely not, and having we need to be more cautious, that's the thing.
Yeah, I agree with you fully, and I mean it's amazing the way it's the link that falls down between sales and then the carrier itself, and then they one blames the other, the and the consumer's part. Caught in the middle.
I would go back. I mean, I appreciate that a third party, if you like, gave you a 10 euro goodwill gesture of credit. But I would still go back. I mean, it's. Let me put it this way. If you don't get any more, you're going to be anything but happy. And there's an extraordinary amount of... I must be honest, I'm really, really worried about this one because it seems to be affecting so many people in so many expensive ways. But I would go back and make the point that, look, I was told the games were free. The costs within the games were never mentioned, ever. And therefore, on the basis that a young lady of 10 years old was told these are free, that is exactly the word that she took and trusted and acted upon. And therefore, that you're looking for the balance. It won't happen again, but you want that 17
who
euro.
Should pay, who should pay that? The carrier?
I would go to the individual who suggested that, look, this is what happened. Those who gave the 10 euro credit, I would try to get the rest back.
From them. Okay.
It's well worth trying.
So how does Jackie deal with that now? Does she ring them and sort of say, look, here's the case and I want why?
Ring them again.
Or do you email them, or what do you do?
I would, if you have a possibility of emailing Jackie, I would do it because... Oh, well, then it's easier to put it down in the terms that we put it. Look, the element of all that came across in the conversation was, these are free. And that needs to be taken on board.
Would you copy that email to a comrade?
I would wait to get the response back, and then I would copy to Comreg.
All right.
Because it's an important one. This message really needs to get out to a lot of people. Fair play to you, Jackie, for coming on.
And give it a go, and come back and talk to us. Tell us what reaction you get to the email.
Yeah, I will, Aidan. Thanks, Sarah. Thanks, Aidan.
Thanks, Jackie. You really appreciate that. Thanks indeed.
Thanks now. Bye-bye.
All right, cheers. Bye-bye. This Ruth's next, and Rita's next, and she has an amazing problem. And we'll come to that in just a moment, but this is like... Just looking at this, and it is just, it's beyond belief.
Hey, I can't wait. I'm intrigued.
It's incredible stuff. Our text line, by the way, if you have an issue or a problem and you want to try and get it sorted consumer wise, that is 57102 for 20 cents. Or if you want to come on air, like Jackie, or indeed Rita next, 850-6597 is our number here.
Call Cooley on 850-6597 on Dublin's Q102.
All right, a cooling off period. How does it work?
Cooling off period, basically. You opt to take something, and the bottom line of it is whatever happens, you have a decision that you can use this, or you can decide within that period of time that you won't be using it, and all deals are off, all bets are off. There may be usually some small terms and conditions applying to that, but very rarely.
Fairly straightforward. So if I decide, I love that bicycle, Mr. Bicycle Store Man, and you can sell it to me, and I can come back after cooling off period and say, well, look, cycling wasn't for me after all. I'm really sorry. Here's the second-hand bike I bought, or here's the new bike I bought, and can I have my money back? And that's what we agreed, so that's what should happen.
Yes, unless there was an agreement that if you bring it back after 7 days, having used it, there would be a little bit of there'll be a discount for your usage.
Okay, fair enough.
That's it.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, because Rita's here in Leixlip, and I just find this incredible. Rita, you bought a UPC box last Thursday.
Yep. And
okay, what happened after that?
I received it on Friday, rigged the whole lot up, the satellite, the whole lot, didn't like it. So I disconnected it, and I rang UPC this morning to cancel the contract, which the 7 day cooling off period I was within, and they said no, I couldn't.
Why?
And they said that because I opened it and tried the product,
so
I'm now bound to a contract for a year, or else I have to pay them €150 to get out of the contract.
What's the alternative? If you get it for a cooling off period, What do you do? Just leave it in the box on a chair? So what's the point of them sending it out to
just
you?
Look at it.
Yeah, yeah. Don't. We won't send the box out to you. Just think about it for another week whether you want it or not. Surely to God, the whole idea that could not be set it up, have a look, see if it suits, see if it's what you want. Yes, I'll buy it. No, I won't. Here it is back.
At any time, Rita, was it pointed out to you that, look, yes, we'll send it out. Now, you can have it there and think about it, but if you open it or attempt to use it, then there's a deal here.
No, it was just all done over the phone and there was no mention of anything. And I rigged up the box, rigged up the digital box. I didn't like the channels. There was a buzzing off the box, still is, didn't like that. And they said no. I've been on the phone to them at least 12 times today trying to get out of it and they said no. I told them I was going to speak with you as well this evening.
Good stuff, yep.
Okay, I mean, I understand. I mean, we all understand here, and I'm assuming that the guys are listening, UPC, and the point being, we all acknowledge that there are contracts and there are contract terms. But if one of the terms of the contract is that you have a 7-day cooling off period within which this contract can be cancelled, then there you have it. And the lady wants to cancel the contract, so it should be it.
Yeah, they're not entertaining me at all.
Okay, well then, all you can do within reason is to contact the regulator, and that's Comreg. And
I contacted them today,
right?
As well, and they said that they don't regulate them.
They don't regulate UPC.
No, they don't regulate UPC. And I even said to UPC because I'm with them since 2005, true loyalty.
Right.
Would they not? And they said, no, I'm bound to the contract for 12 months.
You are entitled to a cooling off period of 7 days, which begins on the day that your order or contract with the UPC is concluded, or the day that you receive written confirmation of your order or contract from UPC. If UPC fails to provide you with written confirmation, the cooling off period is extended to 3 months, blah, blah, blah. During the cooling off period, you can cancel your order or contract without giving a reason, without incurring charges or penalties, other than possible monies due within 30 days, and any credit agreements entered into the time of the contract will be cancelled as well. The charges that they talk about incurred in returning any equipment that we've provided to you upon cancellation were applicable. UPC will reimburse any monies due within 30 days. Be aware that you may not cancel your order or contract once UPC begins providing you with the services with your agreement, and at that point you are bound by UPC's terms and conditions with respect to cancellation and termination. That doesn't sound like that happened.
And that's what they're saying. They said to me once I plugged in that Digibox, I activated it.
You activated the system?
Yeah.
And they provided the service. And how long did you use that for?
Just on Friday. I plugged it back out.
Okay. I really think the people in UPC are being a little bit over the top on this.
Zealous about it, yeah.
They should. Can I just clarify this? At no point did anybody say to you, look, there's a 7-day cooling off period, but if you plug this in and turn it on to test it, to do anything with it, all bets are off.
No.
Okay.
100%, that was never said to me on the phone.
No, I appreciate that. Well, what I suggest you do is that you get back in touch with UPC.
Yep.
You tell them that you want a copy of the recording of the contract.
Yep.
Because you want to prove that at no point ever beyond the 7-day cooling off period was anything mentioned about terms and conditions in able to use, try, test or not. And that therefore, on that basis, having spoken to ourselves, our advice is that you follow through and seek under the terms and conditions that Aidan has just written read out there, that you have your contract cancelled.
Okay, I'll ring them straight away.
Yeah, do. Tell them, look, we acknowledge there seems to be, and I understand if it was turned on and plugged in, yes. But the point is, it was never mentioned to you, and that in this case, under those circumstances, we're not arguing with our terms and conditions, but in this case, because it was never mentioned, that we would like to see them acknowledge that with goodwill and follow through on the cancellation.
Okay, I'll do that.
Please come back and let us know, Rita, how you get on.
I will indeed.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Ooh, that's a strange one, isn't it? All right, now I know they changed some of their general terms and conditions in January. It's just according to their website, which I have here. So we'll have a little look through that and see if there's anything else there that maybe people need to be aware of, and maybe we'll see if we can get hold of one of their people tomorrow and maybe ask them to come out and have a little chat, if they're amenable to doing that. Okay, Eleanor has a problem as well. She isn't a problem, she's an inquiry about something that happened. We'll talk to her in a second.
Call Cooney. Have your say. Call 850-6597 or text 57102 for 20 cents.
Dublin's Q102.
All right, we're going to talk to Eleanor, who's in D16 in Rathfarnham. Hi, Eleanor, how are you?
Hi, Aidan. Hi, Dermot. Hi.
Good. Window company, what happened?
Yeah, well, just apropos of nothing there at all, Aidan, if it's any comfort to that lady that called you there, we're having endless trouble with a problem similar to that with UPC as well. Countless phone calls going backwards and forwards. But anyway, that's not my problem today.
All right, okay. No, problem shared.
Indeed. I just wanted to ask Dermot this, Aidan. Is it actually legal for a company who are going to provide a service and require your credit card details to take the money out of your account before the service is actually provided? Now, the background to this is that the company I'm dealing with is located in Cork. Their call centre is in Cork. And I rang up to inquire about getting a repair done, which was fine. I was told it'd be 7 to 10 days before they could send a technician. That was okay as well. I don't know whether they were working days or included weekends. But anyway, I was told there was a standard call-out charge of €70, which again was okay. I had no problem with that. But the €70 was gone from my account within 2 days. And I phoned about that as soon as I saw it, and I was told standard company procedure, this is company policy. That's all I got, company policy.
I love that, the way, like, it's company policy, so therefore we can do it. Yes. That's our cheek.
So in actual fact, the repair was effected 13 days later. Now, I'm counting weekends in and that as well.
Right.
So the point about it is two things. Number one, is that legal? And the second thing is, can they now deem that the repair was worth more than €70 and dip into my purse again? That's what I want to know as well.
Yeah,
now, I have
question.
To tell you, I'm to blame for, to a certain extent, I forgot to ask for a receipt because I was just so glad to get the repair done.
Yeah.
But how am I to know that they're not going to dip into my account again? And that's why I'm actually quite reluctant to sign up for direct debits, because you're kind of handing your purse over to someone.
Right, yeah.
So that's my query.
Yeah.
Okay, Eleanor, taking them in order, The standard call out is €70, and they're suggesting that it's company policy that it be taken out immediately. It may be company policy, but it has to be explained to you in advance that this is company policy and that this is what they're going to do.
Right.
And they didn't do that, obviously, because you were surprised. So is it legal? It is, provided they explain it to you.
Right.
Can it be counteracted? Yes, it can, because it's your credit card and you have the potential and the facility to ring your credit card company and tell them something has been deducted from my account and I want it stopped or I want it held or put in abeyance. So that's one element of it. But the second element, I suppose, really is there should not be any extra amount deducted from your card without a full understanding by you that this is necessitated. And I understand where you're coming from in relation to a receipt, but a receipt is no more than a, if you like, a follow-on from an agreement of what will be the final cost. So in other words, somebody will say to you, look, we've got €70, this is going to cost €100, so there'll be another 30 put onto your card. But they have to tell you all of that.
But if they have to do that, but and I'm assuming the credit card company will refund you if there is a problem.
Absolutely.
But can they actually go back in and take that money, you know, and sort of justify it to themselves by sort of saying, well, actually we said 70, but we meant 140, or there was an extra hour taken in there, and we have to pay him that extra hour. So can they actually do that? And then you go and get your credit card account statement, and you go, what's that?
Yes.
Now, I know you might get it back, but are they legally able to do that? And how do you prevent them from doing it to other customers?
Well, I suppose what worries me here, and this is where, Eleanor, you can help me. At the time that they asked you for your credit card details, what were the circumstances that they asked for it? And that, most importantly, what were the circumstances that it, made you comfortable in giving it to them?
Well, I suppose to a certain extent, Dermot, you know, when you're booking in a hotel and that kind of thing, they ask for a credit card for kind of security.
That's right.
And then after the service has been provided, they take it out of your account.
Yes.
And this has happened as well with a washing machine repair. And eventually, when the machine had been, the repair had been done to my satisfaction and logged off as a good repair by me, then the money was taken out of my account.
Yes.
But I was gobsmacked when I checked my account online. Mm. In fact, I've been online every day checking my account to make sure they haven't dipped into it again.
I understand.
That's stress you don't need.
that's not
told
right.
in advance that it was going to be taken out in advance. There was just said, it's a standard call-out charge of €70, and I said, fine.
Yeah.
Okay,
awful.
Well, under those terms, that was what was agreed to. And under those terms, I would not be afraid to suggest to you that if you do wish, you can, and you can do it now, and it will happen within 2 minutes. You can call your credit card company, tell them they will see a €70 charge going through, and that that is what you agreed, and that you are giving them your number so that in the event that there's ever any attempt to place a further charge against your card from that company, that you want it stopped immediately.
Okay. Can that work on a Visa debit as well, Dermot?
No. That's a debit is them. The equivalent of paying in cash.
Yeah, great, okay. I gave them Visa debit.
Oh, I see.
So can they go back in? Theoretically?
Well, no, that should be for one transaction
one
only.
Okay.
And that's it. And that's okay. But, that should be for one transaction only. In relation to that, you can't ring the company. So that cancels what I said.
Sorry,
but I was assuming Visa credit.
Yeah. But they can't take money out either.
No.
So that's fair
enough.
Mind at rest there. And were you happy overall, though, with the service?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, now, it was 13 days later. Not 7 to 10 days.
Oh, yeah.
It was at the upper end of the time scale. But, the repair was fine. All of 20 minutes work. No problem at all. It's done and dusted.
And you shouldn't have that attendant worry, though. I mean, if you're that worried and you're going to your accounts every day, there's stress levels you don't need.
Exactly,
yeah,
I know.
Money's hard enough to come by.
Now, can I just explain that what you've outlined, Eleanor, is different in the terms of a credit card and a debit card.
Right.
Once you apply a debit card, it instantly comes out of the account. You can't not take it out. You can't put it on, if you like, on retention for a number of days. So that's why that 70 came out. It's not that they were trying to be sharp. It's the only thing that could happen. Once you key in a debit card amount, it instantly comes out of your
money
account.
Comes out, okay.
You can't flag it for 10 days' time. It comes out today.
Right.
Okay.
So
okay.
that's why that happened. So just by way of explaining that, you know, I don't think there was any bad intention here.
Okay. But if a company says that to you, you have the option to say no, presumably.
Well,
you
have.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I would have given my credit card details. Then.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's now, I suppose, we're all learning here. This is another good piece of consumer advice. If somebody asks you to pay up front, you say, fine, I'll do it by credit card and you can apply it when the business is done.
When it's done and you've got protection
as well.
That's great.
Thank you very much.
Not at all.
Eleanor,
thank you. Lovely talking to you. Thanks indeed. Bye, bye, bye.
That was a good one.
Yeah, it was. And I mean, it makes you very aware of just how people can get their hands on your money.
It's very easy.
And in one sense, you're not even thinking about it, but you're giving them your cash.
Yeah.
And you don't even realise.
That's the way debit cards work.
So in future, if you're paying for a service in advance or they want anything like that, put it on your credit card. And that's the way it is.
Yeah, and you have control.
Okay, now, this idea that, that's the company policy. No, I'm not interested. I'll go to another company.
Exactly.
Do you want my business? And we'll pay you when the job is done.
That's exactly it. And that was the confusing part there, which is true. They did take the number and they did not wait.
Right.
They put it through. And I would argue, whoever you are, guys, company policy or not, that's not a good company policy.
But isn't it lovely the way people will say to you on the phone, that's a company policy. And it's like, that's set in stone. It's not. You know, well, our company policy, we only serve people who wear white trousers today. Like, it's really nonsense. Absolute nonsense. So question it. If you feel it's wrong, the chances are it could be. So question.
Absolutely.
And if you've got this feeling in your tummy that these guys are not the people I want to be dealing with, run. I think that's, only deal with people that make you happy. Absolutely. And always get references too. It's not the other side of it. Let us talk to Eileen, who is in Enfield. Hi, Eileen.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What happened?
I have a question for Dermot.
Yep.
I'd like to talk to him about and like his opinion on a query I have regarding the NPPR.
Okie doke.
As you know, Dermot, this is a charge of annually. It's every 12 months and it's for €200. This year, however, it's been replaced by the property tax in July.
Yes.
So it should really, I think, now perhaps I've got it wrong, but it should really run that you should be charged this year for 6 months.
Yes.
Which would be €100. But they're not doing that. They're charging the full €200 plus the property tax in July. That's one query I have with them. But actually, I have another one that relates back to last year. Now, I don't know. Perhaps I don't understand it properly, but that doesn't seem fair to me. And the other query I have with them is this charge that they have of €200 every year. they don't send you a reminder or an invoice to say it's now due again. They just let it run and they add a penalty every month it's running.
So in other words,
if you
the
inadvertently
on you, yeah.
forget to pay it, like I did in 2011, and then I thought to myself, oh, this must be due, which was 2012. I look up and see how I go about paying it again. To discover when I looked for it myself, when I eventually got through to them and all the rest, that it actually, I had been penalised since 2011. Now, you know, things are hard enough to pay at the moment.
Right.
And I do feel that any service that you get, any purchase that you make, that you get a bill for it.
Yes.
But here they don't, they said because it's not a tax, they don't have to let you know. But they had no problem at all when I wanted to get onto to my account and have a look at it, banging out an email to me automatically. So they had my email address. They could have actually sent out an email saying, there is a reminder here now.
Yes.
And that money, all those penalties, are still sitting on my Visa card because I didn't have the money to pay it. And I just think that they're not, it's not morally or ethically correct what they're doing. They're trying to catch people out, and that's not fair.
Well, that's a very, very honest and valid argument, and you're entirely right. And I would suggest to you that I think there's a good reason to have those waived under those circumstances, because any normal practice would be generally that, regardless of whether this is a tax, the fact is it's an annual tax with a date attaching to it, and usually, even if you were not to get a bill, you would very often get a reminder. I mean, even a mobile company will tell you at a particular stage, you have your account is now online to be viewed and to be paid.
Well, why don't they send out reminders?
I don't know. I don't understand that.
Well, the reason being, because I asked them, you know, I raised that issue with them. I said, look, you know, you should have sent me a reminder. I inadvertently forgot about it, you know.
Yeah.
And they said, because it's not a tax, we don't have to send a reminder.
Oh, right, sorry.
Ironically, they're putting a tax on it now this year, you know. It just
Yes, I understand. I still would go back and ask them, by way of the argument put forward, that as a gesture of goodwill, that they waive the penalties. Now, if you're having a problem with that, I would suggest whomever is your most, I suppose, vocal and ardent local representative, I would bring it and ask them to intervene directly on your behalf, because there has to be an understanding of the reality of life, as you point out very well, Eileen, and the cost factor here, and that the fact that this is not by any wrongdoing, this is purely and simply
an oversight,
no more, a human frail.
And that late payment fee is €20 per month, a part of a month, and it'll roll along until you come into them. That's
a license to print.
And if the light of day never dawns on you, you think, you know, you just completely forget it. You know, you're going to end up with thousands and thousands. And, you know, when the €100 property tax came on, I paid my property tax, but I did feel really grieved. You know, when I heard it on the news, oh, people were being sent reminders, and I thought, well, I pay everything that I owe. And I just thought that was wrong. They're trying to catch you out.
Yes. No, I agree. It's very, very badly structured. But I would take it up with, as I say, whoever is your strongest local representative, and say, what are you going to do about this?
A good counsellor.
Yeah,
a good counsellor.
Okay,
they
I'll
have
do that.
Good powers. Yes.
And if you get on well, or if you come across more frustration, come on back and tell us, please.
Thank you. I will indeed.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you indeed. All right. Interesting one, that.
It is a very interesting one.
Be interested to hear if anyone else has a similar situation there.
I can't have a fear that there'll be going to be mountains of them.
Yeah. Is it not illegal for a merchant to hold on to a credit debit card details any longer than for the intended transaction? So in other words, once it's done, you can't.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is it.
All right.
Quite right.
So that's that one answered. And I like this one. If you get into a car and you give the taxi driver a €50 note for a €10 fare, what happens? We'll discuss that in a moment.
Call Cooney. Have your say. Call 850-6597.
Dublin's Q102.
All right. Let's talk to Jim. And it's an interesting one. Hiya, Jim.
Oh, yeah, and how are you doing?
Well, yeah, the query basically is, if I get into your car and I offer you a €50 note and the fare is 10 and you don't have any change, what happens? Who's liable? What has happened to you? How did you resolve it?
Yeah, it happens a little bit, all right, but it happened on a particular occasion where I was going up, dropping a person to Euston Station, and I got up and it was €10 the fare was, and he had to be €50. I just changed 50.
Right.
And I said to him, I don't have any change, but I said, if you have a credit card, I can take a credit card payment, because I had a facility in the car.
Very good.
And he said, no, I don't have a credit card. So I said, well, we'll have to go into the shop, or you'll have to go into the shop. And he said, oh, I can't be waiting. He said, I have to catch a train, he said.
Wow.
So I just gave him my business card and I said, send me the money. Now, he never did.
Well, of course he didn't.
So I hope he's listening in now, like, you know.
Whistle Dixie, as they say. Yeah, so what do you do, Dermot, in a situation like that? And surely Jim was in his right to say, no, you didn't give yourself enough time to get to the train station. Not me. Let's go into the shop, get me my money, and then you can go for your train. Because you owe me €10. I want my money. Or has that been harsh on the customer?
I understand perfectly the situation, but that too is putting an awful lot of pressure on a passenger who just assumes, look, I can get here and I can get there, give the guy 50 and he'll have a float. Now, I understand Jim's predicament where he said, look, I just used the float and now I'm stuck here. It's a problem, it's a risk that everybody runs. But I must say, I have to applaud Jim for the fact that he took the good option rather than say to your man, well, look, we're both going out to get this changed. Frustrating that he didn't come back and pay.
But that's ruined for other people.
Really bad.
Because Jim, you won't trust as kind.
Never again.
How do you trust anyone after that?
No, I wouldn't.
Is there a legal site?
I'm just looking though for Cardia. Who I can't get Cardia. I've contacted National Transport Authority. They haven't been able to tell me whether I'm obliged to have the change, which, I mean, obviously I'm going to try and have the change, but, I mean, are they obliged to pay me the money?
Well, they're obliged to pay you the money, Jim, but realistically, if you come to the starting point, at any time when you go anywhere to pay a bill, once you offer your money, then it's down to, let's say, the retailer or the person providing the service to have the change. There's always an expectation that if they haven't got it, they'll go and get it and they'll come back to you and give you your change. And that is, if you like, 99% of the way the expectation would be.
Yeah.
It's not to say that you're wrong, but unfortunately, in your unique situation where you would only have a small float at any given time, it makes it more difficult. But that's why there would almost be an argument that, well, if you'd accompanied the guy across to wherever that shop was or the kiosk in the station, you know, the matter could have been resolved in a minute. I know you'd have had to leave your car now, don't get me wrong.
But the guy said he didn't want to do that. The guy said he was running for a train, I haven't got time to do this.
I don't care, I'd say we're going. Yeah. End of story.
The other thing, of course, is there, like, I mean, I am entitled to ask for the fare up front, which, you know, would start off the journey on the bad sort of atmosphere.
Yeah.
Like, a taxi driver is entitled to say, well, have you got your money, like, you know.
Proof to me the fare.
But I wouldn't like to get some into the car and start dropping a bad atmosphere. I'd like to have a good conversation on the way, like,
but,
you know.
But in fairness, he probably would have said to you, yeah, I have a 50. Now, then would have been the dynamic.
Yeah, but then I could have said we could stop on the way and if we hadn't got time, then I'm waiting to take it or take somebody else out the rank.
Exactly.
No, I know, it's a fair point, and I'd be the same. I'd find it unusual if a taxi driver said to me, we got the money for this.
What if Jim had come at it from the other angle and said, look, that's fine, you don't have any change, I don't have any change, you're running for your train, can I have your name and address, please, and sign this here that you owe me this money?
Oh, yeah.
Now, that was only a tenner,
but then
at least you could bombard him with letters and emails and maybe even stand outside his place of business with a sign saying, you owe me my money, pay your bills, please, this sort of stuff.
Well, it'd be in my rights to take the 50 euro and tell him I'll send him the 40.
Not really. He might have needed the 40 just to transact his business. You know, it's terribly problematic.
It's a tricky one, isn't it?
You see, it's true. There are no firm rules on this. You just need to be as pragmatic. And I will say, I think you were. And I'm really sorry that you got stung for it. You didn't deserve that.
All right.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough.
Thanks, Jim. And you're a credit to taxi drivers. I don't mean not to sound patronising in any way, shape or form. But but I know the next time you won't be as kind. Cheers.
Thanks
very much, Jim. Thanks. It's like I know a taxi driver who went and worked his buns off over the Christmas period, which is their busiest time, and he kept the money in a secure place, and then he went down to the bank after the Christmas period to lodge it. It was a considerable amount of money, and the bank teller said to him, I have a bit of a problem here. There's 4 or 5 of these 50 euro notes are forgeries.
Oh, God.
And he was like, what? And he said, give them back to me or ring them to the guards. No, we can't give them back to you now. And okay, so what happens here now? Does the central bank replace? No, sir. You were out of tune. You were out of pocket to the tune of 200, 250 euro, whatever it was. And he said he learnt the hard way. 50 euro notes and taxis, not interested, you know. And he's perhaps doing what more and more taxis or drivers are doing, sort of, how are you paying me?
But you see, it's interesting. It comes back to the discussion we had earlier on. The vast majority of machines even just give you out of 50.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they don't have 20s to give you 50. You go, well, what can I do? It's crazy. Huh?
But in a situation also whereby there's no change and Jim is having a chat with this guy, why wouldn't he put it in his credit card?
Well, he said he didn't have one.
Oh, okay.
You have to kind of assume that may be the case.
Yeah, I suppose, fair enough. Look, we're all here. We're all here for a short time. You're out doing your job. You're entitled to be paid for it. And, that's sneaky bat. But I can't say the rest of the world.
Assuming Jim picked this guy up on the road, if you like, as opposed to at his house.
No, it was on the rank, he said, and he was going to the train station.
Oh, it was on the rank, I beg your pardon.
That was where it was. All right, have we got a good news story here, I wonder? Francis, how are you? Let's see if we have... Oh, sorry, there we are, Francis.
Yeah.
How are you?
Hi,
well? Good. You had a... We were talking before about bundling broadband, and Dermot gave you some advice on that.
Did.
What happened?
Hi,
remind us.
Hi, Dermot, how are you?
Great, thanks.
That's good. After speaking to everybody in this company, I actually got a very nice lady, Anne, and who said that she was very sorry for the inconvenience that I had, and that they just needed someone to step outside the box to deal with my problem.
Very good.
And that they're going to reimburse everything, and she's going to ring me back. My bill is not due until the 7th of May. And she's going to ring me back on the 8th of May to make sure everything is okay.
Great, well done.
Brilliant.
So, yes.
Score one.
Happy days.
Back of the net.
Yes.
Back of the net.
Definitely.
All right, Francis, thank you.
Well done, Francis.
Okay,
cheers.
Listen, thanks a million for your help.